Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Mama Seven, and we are doing radio. We're in the middle of devotions. Well, not quite the middle. We're still at the beginning. So we're still very much adjusting to the fast, the demands of the fast. I think everybody got new fast buddies this year. So adjusting to our new fast buddies, just enjoying this moment. So it's Saturday. A lot of us don't have to wake up and work time of day, period. In fact, this is kind of late for me. I'm usually up by 6. And I'm always up and rushing. I'm rushing here, rushing there. Even if I'm rushing to my shrine room, I'm still rushing. And this morning, I didn't. I sat in my imperfect house. My house is not perfect. I sat inside of my imperfect body, because my body is not perfect. And I've been having a perfect moment. And I know you're like, okay, Mama Seven, how can you be surrounded in imperfection but yet have this perfect moment? And I can tell you very easily, that moment was created by God. Now, this house, I chose this house. This is, you know, my house. In this body, the challenges that it has are definitely my challenges. I incorporated these challenges. But the moment, God made the moment. He made the day. He made that moment. He made the sunrise this morning. He made the birds chirp. It was God's moment. And once you get to day 4, if you've been holding on, really holding to those guidelines, you'll begin to hear God's movement clearer. You'll be able to start to be able to recognize your mess from God's perfection. And the thing that helps us to move forward in the middle of our own mess is grace. God has grace for us, and therefore I can let go of my imperfections and sit in a perfect moment and enjoy the sun rising, enjoy the birds chirping. I can choose happiness. When I learned, oh my goodness, the angel Mayat taught us maybe 2-3 years ago. Everything we do is a choice. I can choose to stay in my imperfect body mentally. I can choose to stay in a negative way. I can choose to complain about every single piece of dust. I can choose, oh, the mail is tilted. This isn't right. That I can look around. I can see tons of things that are not. And even when they are, they aren't. But the moment is, because that's what God has given us. And I can choose to stay in God's moment. And today I did. I did intentionally. And it was wonderful, and I needed it. I can tell in my body that I needed it. I needed a little bit more compassion with self. I needed it with some of the demands I have allowed to be placed on me. I needed it. It was such a cooling effect. You know, it was wonderful. And I really encourage everybody, today's word is joy. J-O-Y. It's a small word, and it has such a big meaning, joy. And we got to find our places of joy. We have to find those things that bring us joy. We have to be determined to be in a mode of joy. because that is what's going to help us through not just this fast, but our life. And a lot of times we like to attach our joy to that don't deserve our joy, or things that can't possibly be sufficient in joy. They can't. So we have to work on creating what makes us happy deep inside. And so I was thinking about my dear sister Nikita, and she is having her Umiette Day today. This is when they're going to get all the grands together, all the little ones, and they're going to have fun. Now, whether you have children or not, there's something infectious about a child's laughter. You know, when you see them running around, laughing, having a great time, no worries in the world, they don't care how perfect or imperfect this moment is, they are joyful. You know, and what makes them joyful? Bubbles. It doesn't take a whole lot for a child to enjoy themselves. So if you've ever needed just an instant pick-me-up, like I just need something right now, go find some kid who's laughing, and then you try to stop. You try to stop because you can't stop laughing. They are funny for no reason. They will have you laughing. I've seen videos where this one video I saw, oh, my God. It was like maybe two or three little kids, and they had gotten into something. I mean something. It was powder everywhere, covered in it. It was one of the biggest messes, and it was funny. It was probably funny because I didn't have to clean it up, but it was funny to me. So, you know, even when they're making messes and being destructive or doing anything that they want to do, it was awesome. We have moments where I am into ducks. I think everybody knows I do my little duck therapy. This is where I go out with some food, usually some bread, and bread, popcorn, something. And I go out and hand feed the ducks. And I promise you, if you go out there, you have to go out. They're very calm. If you're offering them some bread, you don't have to even throw it. I just hand it to them. I hold it in my hand, hand it to them. Duck come, pop it, take it right out your hand. They will sit there like your best friend. I've had ducks sit on my blanket, you know, being out at the park. They come sit on your blanket and be like, hey, girl, how you doing? I appreciate the bread. What's going on? Talk to me, you know. And so automatic joy, automatic joy. Every time I see the birds flying, you know, traveling from north to south or how, whatever they're doing, I always wonder, is that one of the friends? Is that one of my friends? When I lived in Atlanta full time, I would go out to the park so much that the mother ducks would bring their little goslings over. The goose would bring the goslings, you know. And then you get to see the fuzzy babies that look interesting, but you get to be a part of their family, and they let you into their family. And it brings joy, okay? Now, let me tell you what can't bring joy. Them expensive beep-to-beep shoes or the bag, okay? Now, I know you're like, but Mama Seven, if you ever had a bag, you would know that can bring you joy. Your joy can't be determined by a lot of money. It shouldn't be, at least, because we're not always guaranteed a lot of money. You know, if you have a boo thing, you know, you have a significant, especially like in the little honeymoon phase in the beginning, everything is wonderful. That's great. And if it makes you happy, that's wonderful. But can't be your only primary source of joy. Unfortunately, humans tend to be a little self-centered. And so we want to make sure that we're not placing our joy in someone else's hands that may not really know what to do with it, that may not really understand the wonder and the beauty of being able to bring joy like that. And you don't want someone else in control of that. Really, you don't. You want what makes you happy. You know, if, whether that is reading a good book. And it, for me, it's not even a matter of reading a book. It's a matter of lounging on my sofa and not doing any work, housework, this, that. Let that go. I'm lounging on the sofa, me and my little spoiled cat, and reading a book. Oh, it's a perfect moment. Today, I hope everyone takes a moment and looks for that joy in their life. Where is it? Now, what you may find is that you don't have any. You know, this is where, you know, we say self-care, but self-care doesn't begin and end with pedicures, family. Self-care is a real thing. It needs to occur. If we don't have enough joy in our life, it really does stunt our growth. So, you know, they have all, I talk about the rice experiment all the time. And they have an experiment where rice, when, you know, rice in water, when spoken to kindly, reacts, you know, positively. It barely gets cloudy. It is, it stays fresh and, you know, it's workable. Then they have rice that's not spoken to kindly, rice that is yelled at, cursed at, made faces towards. This rice spoils almost immediately. Yeah, I mean, when I say spoil, gets black dots all over it. It's releasing because a certain energy was directed at the rice. It releases a different chemical and immediately spoils it. So when we're going through and we're saying no fast food for 30 days, that's because I don't want anybody speaking over your food and you're absorbing that, right? How horrible is that? Because guess what? When they're cooking and when they're processing, and so we don't get to see how the rice is good or not good. We don't. All we get is it wrapped in a nice little bun, put your tartar sauce on it, boop, boop, there you go, fast food. And then we usually have some person who's not real tickled about being there cooking the food. And then we have another person who's not real tickled about being there, taking the bag, they look in the bag. I'm like, great, just breathe all over my. And they're putting their vibrations and energy, and I've been working on my feet for hours, and it's so early in the morning, and da-da-da-da-da. And they're putting on, and then they give me all those vibrations, and they hand it to me. For 30 days, we're going to say, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to monitor the energy and vibrations that we're going to absorb. You know, I've been, one thing about this fruits and vegetable fast I've been on, man, I'm cooking all the blessed time. I'm like, my goodness. But my food has tasted so good. And I was like, why? Why does this food taste so good? Okay. I'm not a smoker. I'm not a drinker. There's nothing numbing my taste buds. Why does it, you know, and, you know, if it bears the question, is it because of the vibration that is going into the food now? You know, not fast food, not some kid, not some corporate organization that measures every single little slice of cheese that you put up there. No, I have been putting my energy, my loving, caring, concerning energy. I've been eating cleaner, and my body reacts in joy. this is just such a wonderful moment, right? So I say all this to encourage you that the joy that we need is closer than we think. It's close. You shouldn't have to check the ATM. You shouldn't have to save up money. Don't take your rent money saying Mama 7 said go get the bag. Mama 7 said go find a baby and tickle them, okay? Mama 7 said go speak to an old friend and enjoy yourself. You know, Mama 7 said, you know, there's moments and places and spaces like dawn was cracking, like crack of dawn this morning, where God is allowing you the moment to experience the beauty that he's made. And so this joy piece, super important. And I want to say this also about joy. Joy is not just for kids. Sometimes when we get to a certain age, a certain position in our life, we stop focusing on joy. I know when I was like in grade school, I could not wait till after school. I couldn't wait to skip home, cartwheel home, you know, find my sister, pick flowers, get home, do my little lessons that my mother had for me, and then run back outside to play in water sprinklers or whatever. I had an expectation of joy. I knew I was going to be having a good time. I knew that once my work was done, we were going to play and have a great time. There was an expectation of joy. As an adult, we don't really grant ourselves an expectation of it. Sometimes, and I know I've been guilty of this myself, we'll think that, you know, those of joyful feelings, experiences, expectations are gone. You know, you settle into a life of work, a life of struggle, a life of bland. Even if it's not negative, sometimes it's just bland, not enough going on, whatever. But we settle in / we accept that this is just life. And I really want to challenge that with everyone. Challenge yourself when it comes to your expectation of joy. You may have to plant a different seed in order to get a different result, okay? So what I learned about farming recently, and from what I understood, you don't plant the same crop over and over. And some crops are planted just as filler crops so the soil stays rich while they're waiting on the next crop season to come in, right? And, I mean, I'm sitting here trying to act interested. I'm half interested. And so, but I thought it was very interesting that they don't do the same thing all the time. For the health and nutrition of the soil, they have to switch their crops up. I said, oh, okay. I wonder if we have to switch our crops up. I wonder if we have to begin to evolve in its own ways of thinking in order to get further in life. I know we do. I know when we were in first and second grade, I may have had a homework sheet, but it wasn't for me to study. It was for practice, okay? And I was practicing something really, really easy, having fun, coloring in the lines. Okay, that's wonderful. But when I got into maybe the fifth grade and experienced algebra, I was like, oh, whoa, whoa. This is a different type of expectation. So I had to change my input to get a different output. And in life, I have, with work, there's expectations of this, this, this. Okay, great. Sometimes I have to change my input to get a different output. I'm saying let's think about the same thing when it comes to joy. because the same things that tickled you when you were 20 may not still tickle you. Let's think about it. Let's sit back and say, hey, you know what? I deserve a little fun today. I deserve to enjoy this, this, and this. I personally am going to the movies today. Why? Because I feel like it. I love going to the movies. I think they make movies just for me. I don't know who other billion people are spending their money, but whatever. I think they make movies just for me. I cannot wait. You know, and it's movie season. There's like 3 or 4 movies I want to see. I'm only going to see one today. I'll see another one next week, whatever. But this is going to be my little reward, okay? Is it a reward for doing the dishes? No, because the dishes are still there. Is it a reward for making all the laundry caught up? No. Have I done all this? No. It's not a reward in that sense to where I'm like, hey, I deserve to do this, this. It's a reward just for me. Just for me being me. Just for the thing I might do. I might do and I might not. I'm rewarding myself. It's not going to cost a lot of money. I'm not going to have to go out of town. Won't have to go out of the country. I'm not going to wait and do this every other month. No. I'm going to go right now. And so I really want you to think about if you've been joyful towards yourself. I want you to think about if you've been kind to yourself. I want you to understand that, and this especially for my adults now, if you are not kind to yourself, there may not be anyone to be kind to you. I hate to say that, but it's true. You may not come across someone who made it their mission today to say, hey, I'm going to be kind to you. You may not find that. So that doesn't mean you don't deserve that. It doesn't mean that you don't need that. It just means you may have to supply yourself the kindness you deserve. And I promise you, when you start moving in that energy, then other people are going to either back up, leave you alone, or they're going to reciprocate, period. Leave you alone, joyfully wave at them. Be like, okay, I understand that you can't be part of my joy right now. I get it. It's okay. Thank you for backing up. And everyone that can embrace you, embrace them. Okay? But regardless to where everyone else stands, no one can stand. You won't be able to see it until you start to be joyful with yourself, prioritizing self. So today, I know we're fasting, and fasting on a Saturday, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to enjoy a little additional rest. I'm going to enjoy going to the movies. I'm going to enjoy just moving at a slower rhythm in the middle of the fast. I'm going to enjoy getting to this point because this is an accomplishment. I told you the first 3 days are killer. So to get to this, day 4, this is an accomplishment. Pop your collar, you know what I'm saying? Feel good about the work that you have done for yourself, for God. This is a major accomplishment. So have fun with that. I'm going to catch up a little journaling. There have been, oh my goodness, the reason this devotions book came about because these were the topics as I was going through one of my many fasts that I was going through. And I, you know, I remember saying, man, what do I need here at day 4? You know, what am I going through? What? And so the devotions book and the order of the topics are not accidental. They're honest as to what I needed. And I have found every year we need these reminders, and they give us the opportunity to write about them. So I hope you have the book, because in the book there's tons of prayers. This is what we base our life on. This is how we get the things. You know, sometimes in your imperfect situation, you know, the only place that joy may exist is in your heart. And that's okay from time to time. We just have to remember to strengthen it. Strengthen that joy center. Allow it to grow and expand. So, of course, this prayer, I love this prayer, okay? This is the first prayer that I taught my oldest son. And it is, from that point on, this has been known as Solomon's Prayer. It's not Solomon's Prayer. But it is so associated with him, because this is what I thought of him. This is what I believe he needed to help him in this journey, right? And it's a joyful noise. I believe it's Psalm 100. And the prayer goes as, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. All right, family, go out there and find some joy. Be joyful in your fast.